Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends. I am Jay Stenman. He is Big Game James McCarty. This is the Morning Circus Edition. Bonnie Amistadi will make her return tomorrow. At least that's what we've all been told, so don't tease us, Bonnie. That's all I can say. Busy weekend for a lot of us. I know James is running on lack of sleep because he had to stay up late to watch both the Gophers and the Vikings this week because they had evening games. Gophers were out in California. Vikings were at home. So you run on any sleep tonight or today?
No, I fell asleep like legitimately about 2 o'clock this morning. For those who don't know, it is currently 5 a.m.
Yeah. And he also had to get ready to get here. So he probably has, what, 2.5 hours of sleep?
Yeah, probably there. I was nodding off during the afternoon football games yesterday, but
yeah,
oh, that only goes so far.
It does. I mean, I was nodding off a little bit yesterday during the afternoon games, which I just turned on the Red Zone channel and just watched that, which takes you around the entire league. So can't really complain about that. But yeah, it's going to be a long day today for you. What can you say?
That's all right. We'll survive. We've done it for 2 weeks now. What's another day?
There you go. All right. Let's see. I have to get it pulled up here. Busy weekend. It was a very warm weekend, obviously, this past weekend. I didn't go out too much yesterday just because I was, number one, watching football. Number two, it was fairly warm outside. So it's one of those things where I didn't make much of an effort to get outside and enjoy the weather. I think this is the week, though, we'll be seeing a cool down by hopefully the middle of the week or so, and we'll get past that and we'll have some enjoyable weather. Although right now, James, the updated forecast, which we'll get to in a minute, I think it's a little bit warmer than Dean was originally predicting last week at about this time. So we'll see if that holds up, because some more chances of precipitation this week, but cooler temps. So we'll be out of the 80s probably by Thursday. So it might take a few more days. So get out there and enjoy it. I know a lot of people out there still walking, enjoying the nice mornings, nice evenings, etc. Hopefully no bugs are bothering anybody. But we will start the things off today with a check on the news with Chris Larson. 5:06, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty.
Last night, Minnesota Vikings were on Sunday Night Football, and they struggled offensively in a 22-6 loss to the Atlanta Falcons in their 2025 home opener. J.J. McCarthy completed 11 of 21 passes for 158 yards and 2 interceptions. He also fumbled 3 times, losing 1 of them. Miles Price, in the return game on a punt return, also lost a fumble. Justin Jefferson caught 3 passes for 81 yards, tying Larry Fitzgerald to the day as the youngest player in NFL history to 500 career receptions. Ivan Pace Jr., Theo Jackson, 9 tackles apiece for Minnesota as they fall to 1-1 on the season. They will now welcome the Cincinnati Bengals to U.S. Bank Stadium this upcoming Sunday, with kickoff scheduled for noon, coverage available on CBS for that matchup. And, of course, after this Sunday's game against the Bengals, the Vikings will head overseas to Europe for not one but 2 games back-to-back, actually, at 8:30 in the morning on NFL Network. So we'll get to that when that time comes. So we can't just play normal times, it seems, those of this season.
Oh, so next weekend will be the 21st. Oh, yeah, so they do the 28th, and then, what is it, October 5th or something?
I think it's the 5th
of
October, yep.
Yeah, okay.
College football over the weekend, MSUM rolling Winona State 45-21. Jack Strand completing 27 of 46 passes for 372 yards and 4 scores. Brady Perryman catching 5 of those for 124 yards and 3 touchdowns. Perryman actually ties Adam Jiskra, a former Dragon, for the program record with 31 receiving touchdowns in his collegiate career. Gage Florence also catching 10 passes for 103 yards and a touchdown. He joins Grady Bresnahan and Damon Gibson as only the third player in program history to 3,000 career receiving yards. He trails Gibson by 33 yards for the program record all time in receiving yards. Cody Sorensen, Tate Gustafson with interceptions each as the Dragons are 3-0 for the first time in a decade. NDSU took down Southeastern Missouri 41-14. Cole Payton was really solid when Simo made him throw the football. He made him pay. 16-23 passing for 348 yards and 4 touchdowns. He also added a 5th touchdown on the ground. North Dakota football falling to Montana State, or to Montana, excuse me, the Grizz in Missoula, 24-23. UND was up in this one at the half, a couple scores. They were actually up 23-14 with 5 minutes to go and would end up falling in that matchup after giving up a 40-ish yard field goal and then a touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the game. Jerry Kaminsky had three passing touchdowns for UND. South Dakota State took down Drake 37-21. Chase Mason completed 18 to 25 passes for 225 yards and a touchdown. Four rushing touchdowns in total by three players for the Rabbits. USD edged out Northern Colorado 24-17 in overtime. LJ Phillips Jr. led USD with 35 carries for 301 yards and a couple of scores. And the Gophers fall to California, 27-14 over the weekend. They fumbled a punt return inside their own 10-yard line with 8:02 remaining in the game when the score was 17-14. The Gophers went from getting the ball back with a chance to take the lead to giving the ball up, coughing it up on a muffed punt that turned into a 2-2 score deficit in the last 6.5 minutes of that game. American Association Best of Five West Division Championship Series. The Redhawks fall in that fifth and decisive game of that series to the Sioux Falls Canaries, 11-2. Saturday night, all 11 runs are given up over only three total innings. They have their season come to an end, where Sioux Falls will now battle King County, the Cougars, in the Best of Five Miles Wolf Cup Championship Series. That begins tonight at 6:30. The first two games in King County, the last three will be in Sioux Falls. Twins drop their matchup, a rubber match actually, to the Diamondbacks 6-4 Sunday afternoon. Matt Wallner hit his 22nd home run of the season. Twins are now 65-84 on the season. They welcome in the Yankees to Target Field for a three-game series that begins tonight at 6:40 with Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound. In the Minnesota Lynx, the top team in the WNBA postseason, taking on the eight-seeded Golden State Valkyries. Lynx actually trailed 28-21 after the first quarter of this one before kicking it into gear and outscoring Golden State by 36 points the final three quarters en route to a 101-72 game one win in that best of three quarter final series. Nafisa Collier had 20 points and 6 rebounds to lead the way. Five Lynx ended up in double figures. Game two will shift to Golden State on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Coverage available on ESPN. For that one, the other series had Atlanta defeat Indiana 80-68. New York edged out Phoenix in overtime 76-69. In Las Vegas late last night, 102-77 over Seattle, as all of those games will be heading into game two early on this week.
I was kind of surprised they were having the teams fly cross country for game two. I mean, three-game series, I know in the USHL they'll have them all at the higher seeds.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit odd for it. I mean, it's good that you're going to be able to get home fans an opportunity to watch, but yeah, that's going to be tough from a funding perspective.
Absolutely. Interesting note about LJ Phillips, though, James. Two games previously this year against Iowa State and Lamar, he had 73 yards rushing. He eclipsed.
What did he have? 10 carries, though?
I don't. Well, he had 30 some. So he had like probably 20 carries or so for that 73 yards. So he had those 30 some carries on Saturday and ended up with 301 yards. One was the game winning touchdown in overtime. I think yesterday he pretty much, his first 2 years, because he did play somehow, he played in six games as a freshman, and then he played all 14 games as a redshirt freshman last year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, if my math, that's 180 and another 92. He had 272 yards in his career coming into the season, and he pretty much blew that out of the water just in one game. This weekend, which I was like, who? But he is no relationship to Lawrence Phillips, if you remember that Nebraska running back. He didn't do well in the NFL, but he was a stud at Nebraska.
That's most of them.
Oh, Dean and
except Ronnie for the last 20 years for Nebraska fans. Sorry, guys. Both in college and the pros struggled.
5:12 here on a Monday morning. Early look at Dean's forecast from this weekend, the 7-day forecast, looking at a potential high today of 82, 30% chance of some showers, 59 for the overnight low. Highs throughout the week as of Monday morning, high tomorrow of 85 is the high during the week with partly cloudy skies. Wednesday, high of 80, 20% chance of rain. Thursday, high of just 70, a 60% chance of rain. Will be repeated on Friday with a high of 68 and 60% chance of precipitation. And then Saturday, a 30% chance of some showers, high of 68. Sunday should be partly cloudy, high of 71. West Fest is coming up this week, and Dragons' second home game of the season will be on Saturday as well. So overall, with a 30% chance of some weather, it shouldn't be too bad. And we got some rain on Saturday over in Moorhead, but that was like basically right after the game ended. After all the family members were talking to their kids and getting off the field, that's when it finally started.
Yeah, about a half hour after the final kickoff, and it was probably 30, maybe 40 minutes of a light, steady rain.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. So we had some pretty good weather, and we had a nice breeze in the booth, almost too much. It was kind of breezy. Picked that up on the microphone, but it was overall was,
it
was a nice
adds
day.
Adds to the ambiance.
Yeah, it was a nice day, to say the least. So hopefully you got out, enjoyed the weather on Saturday, got a little hot and humid on Sunday, and then today we'll see how the weather goes. And Dean will be joining us at about 6 o'clock at the top of the hour to let us know what the forecast looks for today. It is 5:14. We're going to check in with ABC for your national news. When we come back, a song of the morning and a question of the morning coming up. 5:20 on a Monday morning. Hopefully everybody had a good week. Today's question of the morning, James. I'll give you some time to think about this while we play our song of the morning. But what's one of the catchiest commercials or jingles of all time? You can let us know on our Facebook page under Bonnie and Friends on Facebook, or you can email the studio, studio@wdayradionow.com, or call us 701-293-9000. What is the catchiest commercial or jingle of all time? That is Lean On Me by Club Nouveau from back in 1987, for those that remember that one. Jason, alongside Big Game James McCarty, Bonnie and Friends, Morning Circus Edition. One more of these until Bonnie's back and she can take the reins and tell us what to do like she likes to.
I haven't heard from her in a couple days, so we can't really guarantee that.
Well, she responded, I think, a couple times on our Instagram group chat with some replies to memes or something like that.
Yeah,
so
but that was
she's
like
out there.
Saturday mid-morning was the most recent.
Well, she's probably trying to get back to her schedule. She's probably up now just shaking her head at us right now going, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, well, probably not wrong either.
That's true. All right, your question of the morning today, what is one of the catchiest commercials or jingles of all time? We'll check in on Facebook to see what some of your responses are. And some good ones on there, some ones that I know that I remember. I'm not sure, James, how well you remember some of these, but there are definitely some classics out there. Susan, let's see, I got these all backwards. She had the Hershey Kisses, the Christmas one, when they ring the bells. Like,
okay.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, and they're all doing that.
Yep.
Dave said, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. It's an Alka-Seltzer commercial back from the 70s. You remember that one? Or do you know that one?
70. It's
plop,
it's,
plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief.
They did
is.
Something similar to that
like
in the early 2000s, I'm pretty confident.
Barbara said, and this is not definitely like people my age, who wears short shorts? Nair for short shorts. You familiar with that one at all?
Hmm.
Nair. It's a hair remover.
All right.
How about the Band-Aid jingle? I am stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids stuck on me.
Okay. Yep. I remember that.
Crashed in that one. Yeah. Melanie is remembering more of a specific commercial where she has Santa Claus riding the Norelco razor down a hill. And that was like a little kind of, I think it was like a claymation type of commercial back in the day. And Santa Claus is riding in, instead of a sleigh, he's in this little part of a Norelco razor going up and down the hill. So that was a classic. John said the theme from Folgers. The best part of waking up is Folgers
in
your cup.
Yep. I remember that as a kid.
Mark Simonet. So there was this commercial for Wendy's a long time ago. And our friend Mark had said, where's the beef? It was this little old lady. Because it was this video, as the commercial for Wendy's was this like giant bun, and there was just a little tiny burger. So the lady, that was her basically her only line. Where's the beef?
Okay.
It was a very popular commercial back in the day. Lori says, my bologna has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. You remember that one? Bologna has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R.
Not that I can recall.
And if you ask me why, I'll say...
Nope.
Something, something. B-O-L-O-G-N-A. How about break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar? That's what Justine put.
I don't know. Maybe I'm...
Let's see if I could...
Not as in tune as I thought I was with them.
I guess. Let's see. Kit Kat bar jingle. Oh, it was back from like 1990.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, you're just too young.
All the things you need.
Oh,
all the things
sure.
You do.
Has to have an ad before you play something on. Remember this at all? They've done another version of it, I think.
I don't need a commercial to go buy a Kit Kat bar.
Well, there's that. Let's see. What if I can find the Nair one? The Nair one was classic. Let's see. It was a 1970s commercial. How about that? You gotta look at the video though, James. It's very 1970s.
I don't think there's any need to look at the video. I think it does enough on its own. I think it's just fine.
If you dare wear a short shirt.
Nair, lotion, cream, foam, and blue lemon spray.
I didn't think that one was a 1970s. I thought that was a 1980s one. That's pretty funny. Four ladies out on the steps in New York City. What about Oscar Mayer? I wonder if we can find that one quick.
Oscar Mayer.
I mean, you know that one, don't you?
I'm sure I would if I heard it again, but...
Oh, they've got... There's the kid one doing it.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say... Cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Oscar Mayer.
Oscar Mayer Bologna. Bologna.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that at all.
That one was from, when was that one? It doesn't have a date on it. That was like definitely in 1980s. You can tell by the quality of the video. Some of those are pretty funny, just even to think how old they are. Like the Nair one was from the 70s. I mean, that one's like 50 years old now.
Like you're really aging people here. You're gonna pay for that.
A lot of people, you know, they know what's up, you know. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, there's some classic ones out there. What do you guys think about some of those? Do you have a favorite? You can always email us studio@wdayradionow.com, or you can leave us a comment on our Facebook page on our question of the morning. Did we come to a consensus, though? I think there was more people on Friday said on the food fight that more people agreed that they were separate things and not sandwiches. Although some people had some very good points about how...
I honestly... not fully certain of how that ended up.
I think the majority was like two-thirds, one-third. Two-thirds said they were not sandwiches. One-third said, yes, they are. So... there's that. It is 5:35. We're going to head back into the newsroom with Chris Larson. 5:38. Quick check on your local weather. Dean Wysocki, he'll be in about 20, 25 minutes or so. Your current predicted high today, 82, 30% chance of some precipitation today. Overnight low will be 59. Tomorrow high projected around 85. Wednesday, 80. And we'll have a little drop in temperatures, high on Thursday of 70, Friday, Saturday highs of 68, Sunday high of 71. Later in the week, Thursday, Friday, about 60% chance of some precipitation, Saturday just 30%. So overall, a couple days where we might have some precipitation. We'll find out from Dean if it is anything significant or obviously severe. He'll let us know all of that starting at the top of the hour. He'll come in every half hour for your WDIY weather updates. And as we get set for the week ahead, I know, Susan, you were all excited that Bonnie was back today. I mean, she's back in the States. She's got to get reacclimated to her schedule. I'm sure she is excited to be back home, James, and probably take over control of this because, you know, we don't probably do it correctly.
We do it to the best of our ability.
Since some would say, yeah, and it shows. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, well, we can't all be experts the way that she is.
I think that's true.
And I've accepted that.
Mm-hmm. All right, it is 5:40. We're going to check in on your national news and sports with ABC. Good Monday morning. 5:45 on September 15th. 2025. Jay Stepman alongside Big Game James McCarty. Here's my question, James.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into it tonight on Primetime Sports because Track Talk has now officially ended its summer run. Are they in the every other week now?
Not or as far no? as I'm aware.
They're
at
off
this point.
For a while.
Yep.
Okay.
At least through the end of the month. Yep.
Yep. I don't want to say Saturday's game for the Dragons was a statement game or anything, but after their performance against a good Winona State team, have your expectations or maybe your hopes for this Dragon team gone up, stayed the same? Definitely haven't gone down, but Has your hopes increased after last weekend's game?
I mean, the expectation is to just take it week by week and each week to work through some of those things that went good and improve and continue them, and things that went a little bit sideways to continue to improve upon them. I mean, it's a team I think that has as much experience as really any team that I've seen in recent memory, and a team that has enough talent to do something that they haven't done in decades. So it's all a matter of execution, though. That's something that we've said for the last, I mean, really about 5 years with this team is, you know what, you can go out, you can win a big game, but you have to go out and execute in games that you're favored in, and that's something that they've struggled to do. And, you know, to this point through three games, they have, you know, after the first half against Northern Michigan, they have really, for the most part, not been playing with their food much, which has been very promising. But we'll see how things go. I think a lot's going to be said this upcoming weekend against Wayne State, one of two programs in the conference that they haven't beaten since 2018. And so that's a big turning point for this school, this program, if they're able to be successful this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, just got to take care of business week by week. Let's see. Today is National Neonatal Nurses Day, so obviously shout out to my cousin Heather, who works in that field. National Tackle Kids Cancer Day, National Online Learning Day, and then we get into the food ones, especially for you, James. You can tell us which one of these is your favorite. I think I know. National Cheese Toast Day. A little cheese on your toast. It's usually good to dip in your tomato soup, or any soup for that matter.
And then just like grilled cheese?
Nah.
Like cheese toast?
I think it's just like one piece of bread with toast melted on it, rather than a grilled cheese, which is, you know, a sandwich. Because it's got two pieces of sandwich.
I guess I don't think I've ever had just one slice of bread when I've done something like that.
I think
that.
It's usually like as a little kind of side, like when you get your salad or whatever. I mean, I'm more like, you know, breadsticks and things like that. National Linguine Day. Hopefully that's how they spell linguine. And then National Double Cheeseburger Day.
Okay.
So you can celebrate with a double cheeseburger tonight.
I was going to regardless. I didn't need a national day to do that. Right now.
Today's also National Felt Hat Day. Yeah. So I don't know if that means our salesman Craig is going to wear his fedora today or not. If he's listening, he should, because it's probably a felt
hat. That's a Friday thing.
I know it's a Friday thing for him, but this is National Felt Hat Day, so I mean
you can make an exception. You're not gonna it's about maintaining traditions.
Do you know it's Pete Carroll's birthday today, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders?
Is he 80 yet?
No, he's not. But he still looks good. He is 74 today.
Man.
And he's still out there coaching.
He's just been around for so dang long.
I mean, do you remember when he was the head coach of the New York Jets?
Oh, I do not remember that.
Yeah, I think it was the Jets he was the coach of. Didn't do well there. Then eventually, you know, went to USC, did really well there. I think he might have been the coach with like Reggie Bush and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
He was. I know in the 2000s being the head coach at USC before going to the Seahawks.
Yeah, and then he went up to Seattle Seahawks, won the Super Bowl there, and eventually he just retired from the Seahawks, or did they let him go? I forget how that happened there.
It was a mutual parting of ways.
Took a year off, and then he got hired as the Raiders head coach, so he's trying to turn them around. They got to play the Chargers tonight at the Death Star, so there's that. And then Agent K from Men in Black.
Yep.
Tommy Lee Jones. He is how old today?
I'm not going to be close.
Come on.
58.
Come on. 58.
I told you I'm not going to be close. I don't know.
He's older than Pete Carroll.
102.
That's probably closer, at least probably a more reasonable guess based on how he looks. No, he's 79 today. And as supposedly in college, he was Al Gore's roommate. And then Oliver Stone, the famous director, he is 79 years old today. So you got that going for you. So our question of the morning today, what is one of the catchiest commercials or jingles of all time? I'm trying to think of some more of those. But it's funny to look back at those old commercials. Have you heard that Empire commercial? 588-2300
That was a big one where I was from, yeah.
I was going to say, is that a big one down, like, down on the city's end? Is that a company down there?
Yeah, I would say.
How about the Jardians commercial? It's like a mini musical on TV these days. That's annoying, though. Granted, we usually only see it on TV here. We don't have the audio on because we're on the radio at the time, but that one is kind of annoying to say the least. But, you know, if it gets stuck in your head, I mean, that's the goal of some of these jingles is them having a catchy tune that just gets stuck in your brain and you can't really not think of it. Just getting everybody's attention. What about the McDonald's one?
Well, that one. I guess I even think of that as a jingle, even though it probably is.
It is.
I just think of it as part of their
State Farm's like a good neighbor.
Yeah, State Farm is there.
About, I mean, this you've got to be a Toys R Us kid, right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you remember that jingle, right? I'm a Toys R Us kid. Na-na-na-na. Whatever, you know.
Really, I don't.
How about Chili's baby back ribs? I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. That one?
No, I don't. I honestly
really?
No. There's a lot of them. I go to the places. I don't need branding to convince me to go there.
What about Lucky Charms?
Yeah, they're magically delicious.
There you go. Now you got that one. How about the old Ricola ones where the two people up in the mountains in the Swiss
Holler
Alps?
And Ricola.
Ricola!
That's not even a tagline. That's just it's the just name rude. Of it.
I know, but it is what it is. You remember Campbell's Soup? Soup is good food. That one? No.
Is that really what it says?
Yeah. That was the, well, you know, used to be. How about the Almond Joy one? Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't.
Oh, I don't remember that. No.
How about the McDonald's Give Me That Filet-O-Fish?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's in your wheelhouse.
The fish on the wall. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, the Toys R Us one was I Don't Want to Grow Up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. That was from the 90s. We did Folgers Coffee and Alka-Seltzer and Kit Kat. Told you about the McDonald's one and the Oscar Mayer Wiener one. There was a cat one. Do you know the brand Meow Mix? That cat food?
I had a cat growing up that had Meow Mix. Yep.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. I wonder if it'll play it for me.
Meow, 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 meow.
Yep, that's exactly how I remember it.
Meow Mix. And they didn't even get a real cat to do that either.
I didn't know that.
It doesn't sound like a real cat. Let's see. Of course. Commercial first. Thank you. I didn't know Justin Timberlake dig this in. It was, what do you call it, NSYNC or whatever band he was in? Joey Fatone got smashed by a big giant box of baby back ribs. Though probably one of the most popular and one of the best ones ever was...
to buy the world
this old Coca-Cola one
and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees.
This was a really old one.
Snow white turtle doves. I like to teach the world to
sing. You ever hear this one?
Nope.
This is really old. It's like a 1971.
And keep it company.
So you got that one. So there's a lot of other ones. How about Chia Pet? Remember that one?
Chia.
There you go.
Yep.
What about Cars for Kids?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to make you sing that one, and that'll be stuck in your head all day.
I'm not singing it. I'm not going to sing it, because that's too much.
What's the tagline for Goldfish?
It's a snack that always smiles back.
There you go.
Yes.
Miller Beer used to have this one that the tagline was, if you've got the time, we've got the beer. And you had time this Saturday, but that's a different
story. Miller Beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of remember that one.
It is 5:56. We're going to check in with our ag director, Bridget Riedel, shortly. 5:59 a.m. on a Monday morning. Jason, alongside Big Game James McCarty, getting you through this Monday morning, getting your work week started. Coming up after the break, we will have Dean Wysocki, our chief meteorologist, telling us what's going to be happening today in the wide, wide world of weather. And hopefully we've got some good news on that front, which it looks like it should be a pretty decent day today. Slight chance of some precipitation. I don't think we have any severe storms. I do think there was yesterday, James, I do think there was some tornadoes in the north central part of the state, or maybe it was just north of here. I forget.
West of us. I don't know.
I know it was west, yeah. And I think it was also north as well, but we'll get the full details on that. Hopefully there are no injuries to report on that at all, but we'll find out more about the weather. And then, of course, at 7:20, we'll have Ag Director Bridget Riedel will be joining us. And then at 8:10, we will happily announce our winner of our pick six, because since the Vikings played last night, as opposed to week one playing on Monday night, James can let us know who won, because all the games are complete and scored and tallied and tiebreakers have been broken. So we will get a winner at about 8:10. Right now, it is 6 a.m. We are WDAY Fargo, AM 970 and FM 93.1 Fargo-Moorhead. We're going to head into the newsroom with Chris Larson. 6:03, time to check in on that forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino,
how about the Bears game over the weekend? Wow. What a barn burner that was.
Well, you know,
jeez,
I don't know what to say. I mean,
yeah.
my team plays tonight at 6, so all I know is I can get the game watched, and as soon as it ends, I'll be able to go to bed, and I certainly hope for better results than the Bears and the Vikings had yesterday.
Man,
and
both of them.
I mean, it's one thing when the Bears and Vikings play each other, because you don't really know what each team has, and the Bears had some issues in that game against the Vikings. Vikings came back had a nice win, but then you go into week two, and the Bears just got flat-out boat raced by Detroit, who did not look good against Green Bay. And then Atlanta.
What was the Bears' defense?
I don't know. And then
52 points?
Atlanta, for the most part, controlled the Vikings throughout that game. And that was a Falcons team that the Bucs came from behind and beat at the end. So, I mean, I don't. It takes probably at least 4 weeks for us to really figure out what our teams
which
are
team
going to be.
Yeah. Who's showing up? No doubt. Boy, Mother Nature showed up yesterday.
Yeah.
This is going to go down in the record books.
Is it really?
For the largest tornado outbreak in the state during the month of September.
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing an official count, and there were 19 storm reports issued yesterday. Now, the problem is they're thinking some of those could have been from the same tornado. But just to put it in perspective, and this is basically between Bismarck and Devil's Lake. It was
okay.
In that area as there were, let's see here. Let's put it in perspective. Between 1950 and 1924, North Dakota only recorded 27 tornadoes in the month of September. Between 1950 and 1924. Yesterday, unofficially.
So 1924 to 1950?
Yeah.
Or
2020.
Talking?
I'm sorry, what did I say? 1950 to 2024.
Okay.
My bad. It's early.
I was trying to
it's
figure
early
out.
It's a Monday.
I was trying to figure out the math. I thought maybe we're going to go from 1950 to 2000 or something after that. So, I was
we're looking at 50 plus years, 27 September tornadoes throughout the state, and just yesterday. Again, this is unofficial, but it's going to be right around 19. So,
wow.
Yeah, just a.
I think I had seen something last night that there was like at least 7 reported at by halftime or something in the Vikings game. So. So was that just one line of storms, or was it a number of separate storms?
It was just a bunch of different clusters.
Yeah.
So it was, but that's where all the severe weather. We had a severe thunderstorm warning briefly issued here yesterday evening, between 5 and 6. But other than that, it was pretty quiet. Now today's going to be pretty quiet as well. We're looking at, clear skies right now. A nice start to the day, with temperatures in the upper 60s across the area. We'll have partly cloudy skies today. We'll be on the breezy side. It's going to feel more like summer than it is going into the middle of September. Mm-hmm. South winds 15 to 30, low 80s, and we could see a few afternoon storms, generally from about Devil's Lake through Grand Forks. Most of this is going to be north of the FM area. And then tonight, another quiet one, partly cloudy, 60 for a low. And Tuesday, another summer-like day with partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies and highs in the mid-80s on your Tuesday. There are better storm chances later this week. I'll detail those for you coming up here after the bottom of the hour.
And so those storms that come in later in the week, is that because there's a cold front kind of coming in, or is the storms coming in, is that kind of bringing the cold weather? Because I see it drop in the temperatures as we get later
in
the
just
week.
A lot of clouds, and the area low pressure kind of just stalled over the area later this week will bring us cooler weather.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
6:06 here on a Monday morning. We're going to check in with your national news. When we come back, we'll have a sports update from our sports director, Big Game James McCarty. 6:10, time for a look at the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty. James, I saw this weekend that the Red Hawks will not be advancing to the Wolf Cup Finals. Drop that decisive Game 5. They did make it to a Game 5 against Sioux Falls.
Yeah, I mean, a team that they really struggled against in the regular season in the Canaries to be able to win Game 1, to force Game 5 after losing Games 2 and 3. They were right there neck and neck. It's just, on Saturday night, they actually gave up all 11 runs over only three innings.
Oh, really?
So it was a 4, a 3, and a 4-run inning that were a couple innings apart each. But they fall 11-2 in Game 5 of that American Association of Professional Baseball West Division Championship Series to the Canaries. And Sioux Falls now will battle King County, the Cougars, in that best-of-5 Miles Wolf Cup Championship Series. That begins tonight. 6:30, and so that series will get underway. Twins dropped their rubber match to the Diamondbacks 6-4 Sunday afternoon. Bailey Ober gave up 4 runs over 6 innings. He was tagged with the loss. Matt Wallner hit his 22nd homer of the year. Mickey Gasper hit his second long ball of the season. Twins welcome the Yankees to Target Field now for a 3-game set at 6:40 tonight. Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound. Minnesota Lynx trailed 28-21 after the first quarter in Game 1 of their WNBA postseason quarterfinal series to the Golden State Valkyries before outscoring Golden State by 36 points the final three quarters en route to a 101-72 win in that series opener. Nafisa Collier had 20.6 rebounds. Natisha Heideman, 18 points off the bench. Kayla McBride, Jessica Shepherd, Courtney Williams, all with double figures as well in that one. Lynx lead that best-of-3 series 1-0. Game 2 shifts to Golden State Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Coverage available on ESPN for that one. Vikings drop a matchup on Sunday Night Football to the Falcons last night, 22-6. J.J. McCarthy completed 11 of 21 passes, 158 yards, 2 interceptions. He had 3 fumbles, lost one of which, and Justin Jefferson with his 3 catches for 81 yards. He actually tied Larry Fitzgerald for the youngest player in NFL history down to the day to 500 career receptions in his young career. Vikings now welcome the Cincinnati Bengals to Minneapolis this upcoming Sunday with kickoff at noon coverage on CBS. And as we round out sports here this hour, college football saw a ton of action over the weekend. MSUM rolling Winona State 45-21. Jack Strand 4 passing touchdowns, 3 of which go to Brady Perryman, who now has 31 receiving touchdowns in his collegiate career, tied with Adam Jiskra for the program record for Minnesota State Moorhead. Gage Florence caught 10 passes for 103 yards and a touchdown. That got him over the 3,000 career receiving yard mark, becoming only the third player in program history, joining the likes of Grady Bresnahan and Damon Gibson in Dragons lore for 3,000 career receiving yards. He actually only trails Gibson by 33 yards entering this upcoming Saturday's game against Wayne State for the program's all-time receiving yardage record. Dragons are 3-0 for the first time since 2015. North Dakota State really put the pedal to the metal against Southeastern Missouri over the weekend. 41-14, Cole Payton threw for 348 yards and 4 touchdowns. He added a 5th touchdown that was up on the ground for him. He was 16-23 for 348 yards through the air. North Dakota held a 23-14 lead to the Grizz in Missoula on Saturday late afternoon with 5 minutes to go, but couldn't hold on as they gave up a field goal and a touchdown in the final 5 minutes of the game, falling to the Grizz 24-23. Jerry Kaminsky, the quarterback, had 3 passing touchdowns for the Hawks. South Dakota State took down Drake 37-21. Chase Mason, 18-25 for 225 yards and a touchdown through the air. South Dakota State did have four rushing touchdowns by three different players in that victory. And South Dakota edged out Northern Colorado 24-17 in overtime. L.J. Phillips Jr., 35 carries, 301 yards, and a couple of scores in favor of the Coyotes. And Gopher football, as we round out sports this hour, they fell to California 27-14 on Saturday. The game was 17-14 with 8:02 to go in the fourth quarter. Gophers were returning a punt, and they ended up muffing the punt, fumbling it, and the Bears ended up on top of it. And before you know it, what was a three-point deficit with the Gophers getting the football back, trying to tie or take the lead, turns into a 10-point deficit. Desperation set in, and Cal was able to kick another field goal. So that's how the Gophers suffer their first loss of the season.
Well, that's kind of disappointing. I mean,
yeah, a little bit.
We talked, I think, on PTS about the Gophers going out to Berkeley, and I thought with Coach PJ, et cetera, I think we talked, maybe it was on the pick six. I would have picked the Gophers easily in that one. I kind of shocked on that one, to be honest with you, James.
Well, what was wild is at one point it was like 25 straight plays Cal threw the football. They had a true freshman quarterback who really just read the defense incredibly well, was mm-hmm. completing passes, was moving the chains, an offense that, based off of everything I had gathered, was young and experienced, not a lot of guys that had played much college football, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had thought that a little bit more experience of the defense for the Gophers was going to benefit them. They really thought that the first team to 20 was going to win. That's exactly what happened, of course, with Cal getting up to 27. The Gophers only had 14. But Drake Lindsey, he had a touchdown. He did throw an interception, but at the same point, it's not like he struggled mightily still. I mean, was able to help the team move the ball a little bit. The biggest, you know, kind of crutch with them is when Darius Taylor's not running the football due to injury, that really it makes that team a little bit more two-dimensional than three-dimensional.
Yeah. Got to be as diverse as you can, and obviously you gotta beat the teams you're supposed to beat. You know, that's all I can say. All right, 6:16 here on a Monday morning. Coming up at about 6:56, Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar is a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repair. We're going to feature this singer who on this date started a 5-week run at number one on the U.S. singles charts. It became this singer's biggest selling single with sales over 6 million by 1961. So that one is from 1956. We'll talk about that and a few other songs and artists coming up in Flatland Music Flashback. There was a driver, James. I got a DUI, but you'll be surprised as to what he was driving and how fast he was going to get pulled over for this. We'll talk about that next, right here on Bonnie and Friends. 6:19 on a Monday morning. Folks, here's your chance to nominate a first responder who could win a pair of tickets and a meet and greet with Lee Bryce at Shields Arena on September 27th. One lucky first responder will be selected thanks to Schmidt's Gems of Fargo, your diamond destination. Nominate or register online at WDAYRadioNow.com. Scroll down, about halfway down the page, there'll be a big rectangle there with a Lee Bryce concert giveaway. The winner is going to be selected on September 24th, which is a week from Wednesday. So get your nominations in. If you're a first responder, you can obviously nominate yourself, but get your nominations in. Winner selected September 24th. All right, so a lot of people these days are at least smart enough, and I know from friends that I spoke to over the weekend, they're smart enough to get an Uber or get a sober driver when they're out and about at the local establishments. But supposedly, a Canadian man went on a run to 7-Eleven.
This dude got pulled over on a freaking moose, didn't he?
I wish. That would be
better. Oh, okay.
Police say a slurpy run went sideways when a man drove
lawnmower.
My grandfather did that in my hometown, but
three-wheeler.
But thankfully, my grandfather, you know, in my hometown, we didn't really have police there. I mean, the county sheriff might show up every once in a while, but we didn't really have a local police officer back then. He allegedly drove a pink Barbie Power Wheels Jeep. Top speed about 3 to 5 miles an hour onto a public road after drinking. On the morning of September 5th, Casper Lincoln reportedly had a few drinks with a friend, then, quote-unquote, borrowed his roommate's kid's Power Wheel Jeep Wrangler to hit a nearby 7-Eleven. He tooled into a construction lane closed to real cars, catching the eye of an officer in an unmarked vehicle. He pulled over near a gas station. He was found to have a suspended license, and police say multiple breath tests put him over the legal limit. Under Canadian law, get oot, the toy counts as a, quote, James, unlicensed motorized vehicle, end quote, on public roads, good enough for a DUI charge, according to authorities. Lincoln admits he had been drinking, but he says he plans to fight the charge in court. So good luck with that. I don't know how he's going to try and win that case. I think it's all because he took that little thing onto the road. If he would have stayed on a sidewalk, he might not have gotten away with it. If it wasn't for those meddling kids.
Maybe. I just... There, with an adult's weight, there's no way it hits 5 miles an hour. There's no way.
No.
I don't care if you're 150 pounds.
I wonder how far the local 7-Eleven was then.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, in order for that thing to even make it there, it couldn't have been more than a mile and a half, right?
Probably, because also you got to worry about the battery, like, wearing out.
Exact. So I would imagine this thing had to have been like a half mile away.
Probably.
So my whole thought is, even under the influence, that should be like a 10-minute walk to grab a case of beer and then
Here's my biggest point. In my college days, when we would go to downtown Vermilion and we lived clear across town, that walk home, which maybe takes you 35, 45 minutes or something like that, I don't even remember how long, far distance-wise it was to the apartments we lived in, that walk did not seem that far.
No, not at all.
Because you were over the legal limit, and you were obviously smart enough not to drive, but that walk home didn't seem like it was that long because you were intoxicated, and it seemed like it was much shorter than it was. So I don't know why that guy just didn't walk, but then again, maybe he is not a fan of walking in general. You never know. But obviously, he didn't have a license, so... Kind of risky, but yet at the...
I would love to see the face of the
judge
next week when this goes through or whenever the date comes up.
There's that.
Because it's just got to be one of those, like, all right, so you're here for, you know, Mr. whichever, you know, Thompson, mm-hmm. Johnson, Carlson, whatever his last name was. Yeah. You are here for a DUI charge on a child's toy.
Yeah.
Going to the 7-Eleven after knowing that you have a suspended license
mm-hmm.
and admitting to being under the influence while driving through a construction area.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to say for yourself, sir?
Look, I've got a bad leg and I couldn't walk, so it was tough for me to just walk there, so I had to find a way to get there. Plus, have you had a Slurpee? Judge is like, up, case dismissed!
I don't know how you're going to... Oh, that's gonna roll off, but we'll see. We'll see.
Exactly. All right, last weird news story for this segment. There was a man in Spain that back in 2010, so, you know, a lot of people like to get out of work early, say on a Friday.
Okay, yep.
This one man in Spain managed to skip work for 6 years, and nobody noticed. Problem was that he was an engineer hired by the city and all the way back in 1990, but his job was to oversee a wastewater treatment plant, but then thanks to a paperwork mix-up, the water board thought the city was supervising and the city thought the water board was supervising. In reality, nobody was supervising anything, and he just basically decided to go home. And then finally, in 2010, the city of prepared to honor him for his long service with... you know, giving him like a congratulations on 20 years of loyal service or something like that. And so when they started asking questions like, where is the guy? Is he retired? Did he die? What's going on? Later they found out they hadn't seen him in years. And then when they confronted him, he was like, what have you been doing since on that day back in 2004? Any day since then? He wasn't doing anything. He had done no work in the last 6 years, but he still got $40,000 a year. So you know, it's, you know, work harder, not, you know, work smarter, not harder, I guess, is his thing.
That's how I would look at it.
Yeah, he was fine for 6 years, so that's $240,000. He was fined $29,000. That was the most they could fine him. But by then, he'd already retired, and he insisted he had gone to work, just not during normal hours, and claimed he was a victim of workplace bullying. His friends said he spent much of his quote-unquote work time reading philosophy and becoming an expert on Dutch thinker Spinoza. Moral of the story, if you're going to play hooky for 6 years, maybe don't stick around for the Employee of the Year ceremony.
Yeah.
What was that character in Office Space? There was that one guy that they actually had fired, but due to a payroll mix-up, he was still getting paid, so he still thought he was working there. He was the guy that always wanted his stapler, that Milton. And then they finally fixed the error, and he wasn't getting paid anymore. So that was kind of funny.
That's a...
I'm just saying.
It's a tough way to go out, man.
Yeah.
So, Employee of the month, and then realize that he hasn't been there over half a decade.
Well, you know, and there's, you know, you got to worry about the employees that work from home. Are they actually doing anything? Or are they just, you know, making sure the mouse is moving every once in a while so that way they think they're active?
Hey, to each their own.
Do you see the wonderful Lego U.S. Bank Stadium? You going to buy one of those and put it together in your house?
I said somebody build one that wasn't even like... It was just out of, like, they had bought separate Legos and built it from scratch.
Oh, I mean, because...
But is there an actual...
I don't know if it's an actual set, but someone's got an actual replica of U.S. Bank Stadium they did a heck of a job on.
Yeah, I think that was made custom, I believe. Really? I don't think that they have, as far as I'm aware, a set out.
If they have a set out that costs $500, would you get one?
No.
It has to be the right price?
That's a pretty high dollar amount.
You don't want to splurge on that for yourself for Christmas?
I have others to worry about now. I do, yeah. Between family members and a niece now, she'll get the few dollar amounts that the dollar amount that I have to. I'm not going to spend $500 on Legos. It's not going to happen.
Just wait till
maybe I can get something for $100 or less. Maybe I could entertain.
Wait till you have more nieces and nephews.
Yeah, no, I'm screwed. I already know that.
Oh man, that's too bad. You always say that. Then.
But once a certain age comes, I can now justify buying things that some people would say I'm too old to participate with. But now I have an excuse.
Yeah, you have an excuse. But the thing is like, oh no, I'm buying it for my niece, and then you just take it home yourself. So you have an excuse when you're at the store, but
exactly
when it ends up at your house, it never makes it to its way to your niece. That's the problem.
Well, when she comes and visits, we need to have stuff for her.
I see how it
is. Yeah, I'm not. Come on, like,
how it is.
I'm one of them smart idiots.
Well, let's not go that far.
I just did.
Okay.
What are we going to do about it?
I don't know. We've already probably passed the point of no return.
Exactly.
All right. It is 6:30, and we're going to head back into the newsroom with Chris Larson. 6:32 on a Monday morning. Time for a check on your local weather with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
Yeah. What a crazy weekend. Flooding out around Bismarck.
Yeah.
What is going to go down as a historic tornado outbreak in the central part of the state yesterday as well. I've got an article up on our website, so if you want to check that out, WDAYRadioNow.com, kind of showing where all these tornadoes occurred yesterday. It was amazing, I mean, for the month of September. And today, much quieter. That's the good news there, as we've got temperatures feeling more like summer out there. Upper 60s, southeast winds, gusting up to 20. And we're looking at temperatures today, making it up into the low 80s. Some spots could be even a few degrees warmer than that. Under breezy conditions today, we're going to have a few isolated storms in the north central and northeastern part of the state. But the rest of us should remain dry. South winds 15 to 30. Partly cloudy down to 60 tonight. And then Tuesday, looking at partly cloudy skies. Warm, another warm one. Mid-80s tomorrow. A slight chance of an isolated storm Tuesday night. But don't expect much out of that. And then as we head into Wednesday night through Friday, area of low pressure will be rotating in from the south. And as it does, we're going to see increasing chances of rain Wednesday night, all day Thursday, all day Friday, and lasting into early Saturday, with highs falling off into the upper 60s to near 70 for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we're starting off the week feeling like summer. Hmm. We're ending the week feeling more like fall. I know a lot going on this week. We've got last cruise night of the season on Thursday. We've got West Fest coming up, mm-hmm. End of the weekend. And, man, I wish I had better news, but it looks pretty wet. So just keep that in mind if you have any plans going out for West Fest or cruise night. Now, there is about a 20 to 30% chance that this system stays to our south, and we're right on the northern end of that. But I wouldn't lay money on that. Mm. So, and you know, I like betting the mortgage.
I know you do.
Yeah, I wouldn't lay money on that happening.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Let's see. You know what? This weekend, you know, everybody had a good weekend, I hope. And here's the apple that started it all. Red's Hard Apple Ale. This apple-flavored golden ale now has low malt and low bitterness, which gives it a crisp, clean finish. It's the original apple ale that allows for the natural apple taste to come through. Two things that are good on their own, but Red's makes it great for them together. Grab a case of Red's Apple Ale for yourself, available in your favorite local liquor store. And remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and those first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo. We're going to check in with your national news with ABC, and we're going to head back to the American Ag Network. Just about 6:41, it's time for a check on the local sports scene with big game James McCarty.
Vikings struggle offensively in their Sunday night football loss to the Falcons, 22-6 last night. J.J. McCarthy, 158 yards and two interceptions through the air, also had three fumbles, losing one of them. Justin Jefferson caught three passes for 81 yards, tied Larry Fitzgerald for the youngest player in NFL history to 500 career receptions. The Vikings will now host the Cincinnati Bengals this upcoming Sunday at noon on CBS. College football over the weekend saw MSUM improve to 3-0 for the first time in a decade when they defeated Winona State 45-21. Brady Perryman, three touchdown receptions, now has 31 receiving TDs in his career, tying Adam Jiskra for the most in program history, whereas Gage Florence had 103 yards receiving on 10 receptions and a touchdown. He joins Grady Bresnahan and Damon Gibson as only the third player in program history to 3,000 career receiving yards. He's 33 yards behind Gibson for the program's all-time lead in receiving yards. NDSU took down Southeastern Missouri 41-14 on Saturday. Cole Payton was stellar, 16-23 passing for 348 yards and four touchdowns, while also adding a rushing touchdown on his stat line. North Dakota was up 23-14 on Montana with 5 minutes remaining in Missoula on Saturday evening before giving up 10 points in the final 5 minutes, falling to the Grizz 24-23. South Dakota State took down Drake 37-21. Chase Mason 18-25 for 225 yards and a score, while South Dakota State had four rushing touchdowns with three different players. South Dakota edged out Northern Colorado 24-17 in overtime. L.J. Phillips Jr. had 35 carries for 301 yards and two scores for the Coyotes. And Minnesota falling to California 27-14, a matchup that saw the Gophers trailing 17-14 with 8:02 to go before they fumbled a punt inside their own 10-yard line, giving Cal the ball at the 8-yard line where they would ultimately end up punching the ball in. And it went from an opportunity for the Gophers to tie or take the lead to a 10-point deficit in the blink of an eye. American Association Best of Five West Division Championship Series saw the Redhawks in that fifth and decisive game of that championship series, falling 11-2 to the Canaries, who now advance to the Miles Wolf Cup Championship Series, a best of five series against King County that begins tonight at 6:30. Twins dropped their rubber match to the Diamondbacks 6-4 on Sunday afternoon. Bailey Ober gave up four runs over six innings, was tagged with the loss, while Matt Wallner and Mickey Gasper each hit home runs in that matchup. Twins are going to welcome the Yankees to Target Field for a three-game series that begins tonight at 6:40 with Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound. And as we round out sports here this hour tonight, well, actually the Minnesota Lynx last night, they defeated the eight-seeded Golden State Valkyries after trailing by 7 points after the first quarter, outscored them by 36 the final three frames en route to a 101-72 victory. Nafisa Collier led led the five different links in double figures with 20 points and 6 rebounds in that one. Game 2 will shift its way to Golden State on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Coverage available on ESPN. Sports This Hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply, the contractor's headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
Common opponent, James, with one of the local schools down in the cities. St. Thomas played Northern Michigan this past weekend, the team that the Dragons opened the season with, and it was at the Superior Dome, just like the Dragons have played. And St. Thomas did beat Northern Michigan. Northern Michigan, and obviously a Division II school, and St. Thomas, now a FCS program, eligible for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And St. Thomas had a little bit of trouble with the Wildcats there. They win 20-7, and they were up 6-0 through three, and then actually in the late in the third quarter, I'm not sure what the time period was, the Northern Michigan took a 7-6 lead against them. Now, granted, that's not 21-0 like the Dragons were down by, but Dragons did have more successful offensively against Northern Michigan. So maybe, just maybe, this loss to Northern Michigan, or this victory over Northern Michigan as the season progresses, maybe will look better as we move forward throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, they've been right with it the first three games of the year with all three opponents they play. They just come up just a little bit short.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I would imagine they're going to win a ball game or two this year.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think so.
You know, and they play in a tough league too. So they're beginning league play here pretty darn quick, and they're going to have to get some couple things figured out. But they're much better than what their record has shown over the last couple of seasons. Now, 2 years ago was close for them. Last year was really bad, but there's a lot of players that are in their second and third years in the program that are helping that Wildcat squad improve and ultimately win a ball game or two here this season.
Yeah, you got to think that's going to happen pretty soon. But, yeah, just been close, just haven't been able to get that win. So we'll have to wait and see how that team goes throughout the season. Let's see. Coming up at about 6:56, we're going to have Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. It was on this date in 1979, this band scored their 6th U.S. number one album. When it went to number one, and that album started a 7-week run atop the charts. We'll find out who that was, what album it was, maybe what song was featured on it, coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback. But first, we're going to head back to the American Ag Network. It was on this date in 1990, this famous trio had their second number one hit. We'll find out who that was and what song it was, coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback. 6:56, time for music Flatland Music a Flashback. Flatland Guitar is a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. In 1956, Elvis Presley started a 5-week run at number one on the U.S. charts with Don't Be Cruel. The track went on to become Presley's biggest selling single with sales over $6 million by 1961.
This double-sided hit, which had Hound Dog on the B-side, became the most successful on Billboard's Hot 100 chart. One side reached number one on the chart, the other number two. The two titles spent a combined 55 weeks in the top 100 chart from 1956 to 57.
I should say there was over 6 million copies sold, but
so a little over $6 million.
Yeah. Well, probably, yeah. Somewhere over there. In 1962, the Four Seasons started a 5-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Sherry.
They became the first American group to have 3 number ones in succession.
1979, Led Zeppelin scored their 6th U.S. number one album When In Through the Outdoors started a 7-week run at the top of the charts.
The 8th studio album by Zeppelin was their final album of entirely new material. Fool in the Rain hit number 21 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1980.
1990, Wilson Phillips had their second number one hit with Release Me. The group was made up of Carney and Wendy Wilson, the daughters of the Beach Boys leader Brian Wilson, along with
Chyna Phillips, the daughter of Mamas and Papas founder John Phillips.
Famous little trio they had back in the day.
I think there was a hint to that a couple it was last Tuesday or Wednesday. Might have been last Tuesday when you were gone.
I think so.
There was a little bit of info on that.
Mm-hmm. In 2004, Ramones guitarist Johnny Ramone, better known to his friends probably as John Cummings, died in Los Angeles after a five-year battle with prostate cancer. The band from New York City defined the punk rock movement.
I Want to Be Sedated is number 145 on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest songs of all time. The Ramones are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Having a birthday today. Jerry Dixon of Warren is 58. He's their bassist and sings background vocals. Cherry Pie hit number 10 on the Billboard charts in 1990, and probably about 1993 or so, I saw him live in concert in Sioux City, Iowa. So if you're having
really
a birthday,
got to number 10, huh?
Yeah. If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you. That's obviously also former lead singer Janie Lane. He has since passed away, just as an FYI. It is 7 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo, AM 970, FM 93.1 Fargo. Morehead, we're going to head back into the newsroom. 7:03, time for a check on the local weather with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
Well, I'll tell you what a crazy weekend. We saw what is going to go down in the record books as a historic tornado outbreak in the central part of the state. I've got more online about that, WDAYRadioNow.com, if you want to check out that article. And it's feeling more like summer to start off the week here. It was a warm weekend. We almost made it to 90 yesterday. Couldn't quite get there. But today, it's going to, again, feel like summer with temps in the 80s. We're currently in the upper 60s, and we'll have partly cloudy skies today. Highs right around 83 or so with breezy conditions out of the south. And a slight chance for an isolated afternoon-evening storm, mainly between about Devil's Lake and Grand Forks. It's going to stay north of the FM area. And then tonight, partly cloudy down to about 60. And Tuesday, partly cloudy skies to mostly sunny. It's going to be warm and humid with highs in the mid-80s. Can't rule out an isolated storm on Tuesday night. But again, don't get too excited if you're looking for appreciable rainfall. But that changes as we head into the rest of the week. Wednesday, about 80, and a chance for some late-day showers and storms, and then a better chance of some more widespread rain as we head into Thursday and Friday of this week, with highs cooling back into the upper 60s to right around 70. And we'll continue with a few of those showers as we head into the upcoming weekend, at least on Saturday. I know a lot going on this week. We've got Jay's last cruise night on Thursday. That looks wet. Westfest, unfortunately, at least on Friday, looks pretty wet. And Saturday should start to dry out a little bit if you have any outdoor activities, but cool with temps in the upper 60s. There's about a 20%, 30% chance this storm system stays just to our south this weekend. But like I said earlier, I wouldn't bank on that. We'll just leave it at that. I think it's going to be kind of wet around here towards the end of the week.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. Time is now 7:05. It's time to check in with your national news from ABC, and we return a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. 7:09, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty.
On the gridiron over the weekend, Sunday Night Football saw the Vikings offense struggle mightily in a 22-6 loss to the Falcons in Minneapolis. J.J. McCarthy completed 11 of 21 passes for 158 yards and two interceptions. He also had three fumbles, one of which he lost. Justin Jefferson tied Larry Fitzgerald as the youngest player in NFL history to 500 career receptions when he had three receptions for 81 yards to get to that accomplishment. Vikings welcome the Cincinnati Bengals to U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday. Kickoff at noon. Coverage available on CBS. College football over the weekend saw Minnesota State Moorhead roll Winona State 45-21. Jack Strand, four touchdowns, three of which went to Brady Perryman, who now has 31 receiving touchdowns in his collegiate career, tied with Adam Jiskra for the most in program history. Strand also sits one touchdown pass away from 100 in his collegiate career. As for wide receiver Gage Florence, 103 receiving yards on the day would get him past 3,000 in his career, joining the likes of Brady Gresnahan and Damon Gibson, is only the third player in program history to accomplish that feat. He also sits 33 yards behind Gibson for the program record in receiving yards all time. Dragons are 3-0 for the first time since 2015. North Dakota State dominated Northeastern Missouri 41-14 on Saturday afternoon in their home opener. Cole Payton would complete 16 of 23 passes for a whopping 348 yards and four touchdowns. He would also add a touchdown on the ground in that victory. Bison are off this week before hosting South Dakota for homecoming in a week from now. North Dakota falling to Montana 24-23. This is a game that the Hawks were up 23-14, excuse me, with 5 minutes to go before the Grizz would get a field goal, get the ball back, and score a touchdown in the last 2 minutes of that matchup. A spot that North Dakota really looked like they were in control of, and they were actually up 16-7 at the half. They just couldn't hold on in that one, something that they'll reflect on as they enter league play this upcoming weekend. South Dakota State took down Drake 37-21. Chase Mason 18-25 for 225 yards and a score. SDSU had three different players with rushing touchdowns, four rushing touchdowns in total from the Jackrabbits. South Dakota edged out Northern Colorado 24-17 in overtime. LJ Phillips Jr. had 35 carries for 301 yards and two scores for the Yotes. And Minnesota falling to California 27-14 on Saturday. Well, actually, it was early Sunday morning by the time the game ended. But a fumble on a punt return inside their own 10-yard line with 8:02 remaining in the fourth quarter was what cost the Gophers in that one. They were trailing 17-14 at that point. If they just really just let the ball even bounce around on the turf and just get away from it, they have a chance to either tie or take the lead in the closing minutes. Instead, they fumble and muff that punt after it had bounced and was rolling around on the grass. Cal recovers it, and they score from 8 yards out 3 plays later to extend their lead up to double figures, and the Gophers were not able to recover from there. That's, Cal actually is 3-0 on the season. Now Gophers fall to 2-1. American Association Best-of-5 West Division Championship Series saw the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks in a decisive Game 5 fall to the Sioux Falls Canaries 11-2 in that West Division Championship Series. Now Sioux Falls will take on Kane County in the Miles Wolf Cup Championship Series. That's a best-of-5. Begins tonight at 6:30. And over the weekend, you saw the Pro Core Championship in California. Scottie Scheffler got the win, 19 under par, taking home just a shade over $1 million in that one. Ben Griffin in second at 18 under par, and Tom Hoagie was 2 under after the opening round, but shot 6 over par in the second round. He missed the cut line at 4 over par in that matchup. Just a tough Friday for him as he missed the cut line. And tonight you're going to have primetime sports. We'll wrap up a great weekend of college football at 6:30 this evening. High school volleyball on Tuesday night here on WDAY Radio. And then you'll have Spud football host Wyzetta Friday. Cobber football back on Saturday afternoon as well. A great week of athletics up ahead as we continue the mid-September run here in athletics. Also, you had the Twins drop the rubber match against the D-backs 6-4 Sunday afternoon. Billy Ober gave up 4 runs over 6 innings, was tagged with the loss. Matt Wallner hit his 22nd homer of the year. Mickey Gasper with his second. Twins are now 65-84. They are hosting the Yankees at Target Field tonight. 3-game series that begins at 6:40. Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound. And the Lynx in game one of their WNBA quarterfinals series against the Golden State Valkyries. Well, they trailed by 7 after 1 quarter of play, before outscoring the Valkyries by 36 in the final 3 quarters. They win 101-72. Nafisa Collier would lead 5 Lynx in double figures of 20 points and 6 rebounds as they have game 2 shifting to Golden State Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Coverage available for that one on ESPN. Sports This Hour brought to you by Sun Electric, deeply rooted in the Midwest with a reputation built on performance. That's Sun Electric. If your company, facility, or residence needs some electrical service done, count on Sun Electric to get it done right. Have an electrical problem? They have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
Thank you, James. Hopefully here shortly we'll be talking with Troy Mattern. He's the vice president of Heritage Homes. They're going to have some, I believe, some homes coming up in the parade of homes this fall. And then also they've got homes available. Some 6 of them are move-in ready over at Sunset Valley in West Fargo. They also got Sunset Valley in Horace, which is going to have 135 total home sites. They've got 3 model homes available to look at. So they've got a lot of exciting things happening with Heritage Homes. So we'll hopefully get a chance to talk with Troy and find out more about what they got going on over there. And if you want to find out more before we get a chance to talk to Troy, you can always check them out at heritagefargo.com. 7:15 right now. And did you know, and I did not know this, yeah, you've heard of those HIIT workouts, the high-intensity interval training workouts.
Yeah.
Supposedly, according to one study, those can slow the growth of breast cancer cells, allegedly.
Slow the growth?
Yeah. Researchers
high intensity workout?
Yeah. Researchers from Edith Cowan University in Australia studied 32 breast cancer survivors who weren't regularly exercising. Blood drawn immediately after HIIT workout showed elevated levels of myokines, especially IL-6, that inhibited and in some cases killed cancer cells in lab tests. Participants who did weightlifting also had increases in those, though the HIIT group showed the strongest effect. Experts say this adds to growing evidence that physical activity may help reduce cancer recurrence and improve survival among patients. That, to me, is a little bit of a head-scratcher that could help with people with, you know, trying to survive cancer or trying to prevent it. But, you know, if that's the case, I mean, it's another thing that shows that you obviously need to be exercising and putting in some time maintaining your health. You know, I've told everybody multiple times, my parents who are in their 70s now, they still continue to get their walks in to make sure that they are staying healthy and active. It helps mom with her bum hips and dad with his replaced knee, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you just got to make sure you do what you need to do to stay healthy. All right, 7:17, and we are going to be joined shortly by our ag director, Bridget Riedel. And today we are going to talk about captive insurance for farmers. So I guess they have insurance in case they get captivated or
captured.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. Is that like are they going to be like held hostage by the cattle or what?
I don't know.
Is that what's going on?
Cows
here?
May just not move and not get out of their way. So captive insurance for farmers. We'll talk about that and a number of other things coming up here with our ag director, Bridget Riedel, which she will be joining us coming up shortly. 7:20, we head out to the farm to talk with our ag director, Bridget Riedel. Good morning, Bridget. How are we doing?
Fabulous. Yourself?
Well, you know, my team's got wins on the weekend, so that's all that matters. And I saw that you got a chance to check out the home opener for the Bison.
Did indeed. And when you say my team's got wins, you're not cheering for the Vikings, huh?
No.
Hey, come on. It's early.
Most people know I do not actually cheer for the Vikings, but no. James is still recovering from a late night loss for them.
I just didn't stop drinking this morning. So I'm getting through it.
I'm not an NFL fan of any sort right now, so I saw the end of that debacle. I apologize to all the Viking fans out there. Just like Nebraska can tell you, there's always time for next year. You'll get there.
I want to apologize to me. Apologize to those who paid for a ticket.
Yeah. Got to be there for the home opener on Sunday Night Football, and then you get to see
premium dollar
six
and
points. You're like, oh,
what a dud.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and traffic for the ride home. So
yeah.
Glad you guys had fun there. But, you know, locally, there might be something you can think about that's a little bit better for you and your farm, and that is a tax code known as 831B. This actually is called captive insurance. So you're a business owner. You might want to develop your own self-insurance model. And let's use a building as an example. You have a huge deductible or an actual cash value minus depreciation. That means, let's say you've got a 20-year-old roof on the building and you depreciate it down, you're going to get about half of what's going to cost to actually replace the roof. The rest of that money's got to come out of pocket. Well, using this 831B captive insurance, as a client, you can put away tax-deferred dollars to build a rainy day fund. So then the premium you put into it won't be recognized as income, and that allows you to build up a surplus on a tax-deferred basis. So it's helpful for farmers in some cases because there are indeed buildings that over time you're not allowed to insure the way you once did. So this could be something that would allow crop and livestock producers to take a little more control with risk management and then tailor the coverage to what their needs might be. So as you are having discussions with your tax folks this year, talk to them about 831B. That might be a fit for you.
Interesting. So is this something, though, that a lot of farmers do, or is this something that a lot of farmers do not know about based on it's kind of one of those technical IRS fun things to deal with?
Yeah, I think right now there's not as many that might know about it. And in the last couple of years, there have been some significant changes in the insurance marketplace where folks have realized that, hey, I've got these older buildings and my insurance company doesn't want to insure them anymore. I need a better plan. So here's an opportunity to think that through and see what else could be available for you.
Interesting.
Did you know that out in Hershey, Pennsylvania, the Milton Hershey School has an agriculture division?
Oh.
So this is a high school where students actually live in a on-campus-like setting, under classmen, if you will, live with house parents. But then seniors can move into an apartment-style residence, which allows them not only to learn about budgeting, household management, but they become caregivers for the sheep, goats, cattle, greenhouses, and more that are operated through their ag education department.
Oh.
It's called the Ag Education and Agriculture and Environmental Education Center, and students get the opportunity to work with horses, reptiles and amphibians, grow a crop, tend an orchard. They even run the school's ice cream store and factory. So there are opportunities for them to not only have hands-on production agriculture, but food processing and so much more. Students can join the FFA chapter. They can spend time doing some of the trades such as mechanics and more. But here is a chance for kids to really get a slightly different education. And again, it's in Hershey, Pennsylvania. It is the Milton Hershey School. Something you might not have thought about.
So this doesn't have anything to do with chocolate then?
But there's chocolate in the ice cream. Bet somebody knows how to make it.
I thought there was going to be some huge connection between the Hershey chocolate and the FFA and ag, but I mean,
well, there's
not as much as I thought
there
was going to be.
Not as much as you thought, but we're working our way there.
Yeah.
There's still school in Hershey, Pennsylvania for kids. And the biggest reason, or probably the biggest goal that when this school started in 1909 was they wanted tuition-free private education for students that came from families that were a part of the Hershey factories, the family group, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah, so they wanted to make sure that kids get a very well-rounded education and thought that ag and vocational disciplines should be a part of it. And I don't disagree.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a private school, but it's mainly for those there locally in the Hershey, Pennsylvania area. I mean, there's not people coming from out of state to go there or anything.
You can. There actually have had students that have come in from Hawaii and Alaska who wanted to go to school there. And I'm sure they probably had family that were close.
Yeah.
But, you know, as kids, get to develop that entrepreneurial sense. So they're hosting plant sales out of their greenhouses, petting zoos with their animals, and even open houses where they can sell produce that was grown on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that campus ice cream shop, it's called the Spartan Ice Cream Center.
There you go.
I'll take one.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it a double.
It's the only good thing from that college in Brookings is their dairy department.
That is true.
Glad you two can agree civilly on that one.
Only for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We have a mutual distrust. I'll tell you my other off-air distrust, but we're fine. Okay, farm equipment. Farm equipment manufacturers have really spent the last 9 months dealing with tariff fallout and a lot of implications. Now, what's been going on company by company? Case IH says they're in a pretty good position overall. 80 to 90% of their machines are produced in one of four U.S. production facilities, and 95% of its machinery-based material, like steel, is sourced domestically. And that supply flow is really worth the extra effort. Anywhere from 60 to 90% of Case IH machinery is pre-sold, so a new tariff today means a big, unexpected extra cost would get tacked on the end.
Mm.
So what they're executing on is that product that was sold 8 months ago. And no comment on financial impacts, but they're going to continue to focus on how they can work through that with their customers.
Yeah.
Then you have Kloss. Kloss is German-based, and while the company builds its Lexion combines and self-propelled corn detasseling machines in Omaha, nearly 80% of its row crop machinery portfolio is built in Europe and shipped over. So that has brought significantly higher production costs for Kloss, and then also potentially for the farmers as well. But they are looking to have to pass down at least some of that cost to the end user at some point. But they're working through it, seeing what they can do differently. There's a newish 50% tariff on steel and aluminum that's probably the hardest one to get over.
Yeah.
New Holland is largely viewed as a European brand as well in farm circles, but it's closer to an even split. They manufacture about 50% of their row crop machinery in Europe and about 40% here in North America, the last bit in Asia and the Pacific. And so for them right now, they have been looking at their production. It's a learning experience. They're hoping that they can balance, you know, if they're taking some hits on tariffs in the U.S., can they balance their production and so forth in other places? it's just a wait and see deal. But if you're looking to be doing anything in the new machinery realm, a very heart to heart conversation with your where you're purchasing with your manufacturer is going to mean a lot. Yeah, just you can't just assume anything anymore.
No, and we've had, you know, some tariffs go into effect. We have had others that have been paused and pushed back 90 days, etc. But you know, long term, you know, unless they are able to source everything domestically and put these implements together here, then it does become hard to not add on a little bit of the extra cost for what you have to import into this country, because, you know, companies, as always, and we've talked with Brian Kronk about this a lot, you know, the corporation's job is to make a profit for its shareholders. So, I mean, that's job number one. And eventually, if you're not going to make a profit or anything, you're probably going to have to, you know, reconfigure how you're pricing things, et cetera. So, I mean, it's a lot of things that you have to work through, and we don't really know what the end results are going to be.
But you know what? If there's a company that's publicly traded and they have stockholders, they are there to make sure that they create a profit for those stockholders.
Yeah. I mean, you want a good product, but then on the other hand, yeah, it's about profit. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. Today, we're going to talk about something that's a little bit more fun than just talking profit on Weather and Ag in Focus. And we're going to be joined by one of the originators and still one of the directors for the Half Century of Progress Farm Show. We're going to be joined by Russell Burr. And Russell's going to talk about how they had this idea to bring in vintage farm equipment. And I'm not just talking about your John Deere A's and B's. Hmm. We're talking bringing in something a little bit more recent, like your favorite 1486 or 1066 Case tractors. Well, then they were still Case Internet or IH tractors.
Yeah.
And showing them off. They're doing demonstrations with plowing, with harvesting, but then they'll group those tractors into segments. So they might be pretty rough stock to well restored. And you get to look at them. It's hosted on an old Air Force base in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I have not yet attended, but I heard they had a huge year this summer. So I can't wait to talk about it.
I heard that you didn't attend because I didn't ask you to speak there. So, I mean, I think I know the reason why you haven't attended yet. So there's that.
You know what? I'll go even without that now. Tomorrow, I'll be in Bismarck helping out with with one of our state boards. And you know what? They just asked me to stop by. How's
that? Oh, okay. You didn't have to speak. They just asked you to show up.
Oh, no, I will be. So.
Okay. There you go.
I'll be leading a session on media and how to work with the media. So,
all right. How do you get in touch with you if somebody's got a question?
Well, according to Jace, my new manager, you can send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com.
All right. Thank you, Bridget.
See you soon.
All right. It is 7:31. We're going to check into the newsroom with Chris Larson. 7:34. Breaking sports news, James. Our boy Joe Burrow.
Everybody see Joey B.
Yep, Joe Cool. How long is he out for?
At least 3 months. I'm going to have surgery on a toe injury he suffered yesterday.
How much of a bummer is that for a pro athlete? You're out because you have a toe injury. That's
tough,
one
man.
Messed up toe.
I bet you Dean wishes his quarterback had a toe injury right about now.
I think a lot of Bears fans do.
I wouldn't mind seeing Tyler Badgett in there. Hey, he's supposed to be a good
Tyson
backup.
Tyson Bagent,
is it Bagent? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep,
okay.
Yep. Right. He went to Shepherd University in West Virginia, Division II school. Mm-hmm. He owns about half the passing records in all of Division II, and there's a reason that the Bears gave him 2 years and an extension and $10 million. Yeah. He can play football.
Well,
he's a dang good ball player.
You hate to get in the head of Caleb Williams, but, man, maybe you bench him for a week and throw in
Or put them up against the Vikings defense again.
Well,
one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two.
You guys will play us again in 2 months. Just let them play then.
Okay. We'll see how that goes by then. Well, weather-wise, it's not feeling like football season. It's feeling more like summer out there. We were in the 80s. We almost hit 90 yesterday. Just couldn't make it. And today, it's going to still feel quite warm out there. Low to mid-80s. Low 80s, most areas. A little cooler to the north, where I think there's going to be a few storms developing from Devil's Lake Basin through Grand Forks as we head into the afternoon. The rest of us mainly remaining dry and breezy. Low 80s with south winds 15 to 30. Partly cloudy, 60 tonight. More summer heat tomorrow, mid-80s tomorrow, under mostly sunny skies. Isolated storm possible Tuesday night, And then Wednesday, partly cloudy, 80. And then we'll start to see our rain chances increase Wednesday night. And then more widespread rain Thursday and Friday of this week with temps cooling to the upper 60s to low 70s. Might see a few leftover sprinkles on Saturday. And then Sunday, the sun returns with temps in the low 70s. So the wet weather comes later this week, but we're starting off the week looking more like summer than heading into fall here in a week.
Yeah, it'll
next week, official start of fall.
It'll eventually get here, you know.
And it will. Let's not rush it.
You know, let's slow down.
Let's enjoy the nice weather while it's here.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more. We're going to head back to ABC for your national news update. When we come back, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. Then Dean will return with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:40, time for check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty.
Vikings fall in primetime Sunday Night Football to the Falcons in their home opener, 22-6 last night. They really just struggled offensively, mightily. There's 3 offensive linemen by the end of the evening that were not playing for the Vikings. You had Darisaw out to begin with. You went down a center. You went down your backup left tackle, but McCarthy struggling. 11-21, 158 yards, 2 interceptions. He had 3 fumbles, losing 1 of them. Justin Jefferson had 3 receptions for 81 yards. He tied Larry Fitzgerald for the youngest player in NFL history to 500 career receptions. Vikings will now welcome the Bengals to U.S. Bank Stadium this upcoming Sunday at noon, coverage on CBS. College football over the weekend, MSUM rolling Winona State 45-21, improving to 3-0 for the first time since 2015. NDSU over SEMO 41-14. North Dakota blowing a 9-point lead in the final 5 minutes of the game to defeat Montana 24-23. South Dakota State takes care of Drake 37-21 in South Dakota in overtime over Northern Colorado 24-17. And for Gopher fans, they fall 27-14 to California, a game that they were down 3 with 8:02 to go. They ended up fumbling a punt return that resulted in, instead of an opportunity for them to tie or go ahead, down 10 points in that matchup. American Association Best of 5 West Division Championship Series, the decisive Game 5, saw the Redhawks fall to the Canaries 11-2. So Sioux Falls now in the Miles Wolf Cup Championship Series against Kane County. That begins tonight at 6:30. Minnesota Twins dropped their series rubber match to the Diamondbacks 6-4 Sunday afternoon. Billy Ober gave up 4 runs, was tagged with a loss. Matt Wallner, Mickey Gasper each hitting home runs in that one. The Twins will welcome the Yankees to Target Field for a 3-game set. That begins tonight at 6:40. Simeon Woods Richardson scheduled to be on the mound for Minnesota. And the Lynx took on the 8-seeded Golden State Valkyries. Game 1 of the WNBA quarterfinal series. They trailed by 7 after the first quarter before outscoring Golden State by 36 in the final 3 frames en route to a 101-72 victory. 5 Lynx in double figures, led by Nafisa Colliers, 20 points and 6 rebounds in that one. Game 2 of that 3-game set will shift to Golden State Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Coverage available on ESPN for that one. And as we look into the rest of the week, we're going to have tonight primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will recap a great weekend of college football in the local metro and beyond. Then on Tuesday night, you're going to have high school volleyball as you'll have West Fargo Horse take on West Fargo High. That'll be at 7 p.m. first serve here on WDAY Radio. Friday night, Spud football hosts Wayzata, a 6 p.m. kickoff, and then Cobber football fresh off a bye week will be at St. Olaf Saturday afternoon, 1 p.m. with Larry Knudsen on the call for that one. Sports this hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
All right, thank you, James. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, you'll have your 3-degree with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. 7:44, time for your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Dino, last week on Friday, you had projected a high of 84 on Friday. How did you do?
Remember what I said after I said that, though?
Don't bet the mortgage?
Yeah. So I wasn't really feeling that confident on it.
Right.
We only hit 79.
So there goes the streak.
I should have listened to my gut. I was going to, you know, but nope. So Tina F., congratulations, Tina, on winning that keychain. We'll send you an email on how to pick that up. Today's three degree guarantee, 83, as we'll see quite a bit of sunshine. We'll see a few clouds mixed in from time to time, but Not a bad day, summer-like, with south winds at 15 to 30. Again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 83.
What's the confidence level on getting it exactly right today?
Exactly right? Yeah. I think we're probably going to be, I'm guessing, about 81, 82.
Okay.
I upped it a touch due to the fact that are we going to see a little more sunshine than our models are predicting. And if we do, that's when we'll get up to that 83. But I think Northern Valley is probably going to be in the upper 70s today. Mm-hmm. Central Southern Valley, where we'll see more sunshine, a better chance for those lower 80s.
If we get mostly cloudy skies today, would that retain more of the heat?
Yeah, well, the Northern Valley will.
Okay.
By later this afternoon, clouds will be increasing in the Northern Valley with a chance for storms while we stay dry.
Okay.
So I think we'll be okay. I think 83, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
And your three degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store, and that is a predicted high of 83. All right, 7:46 here. We'll take a quick time out, and when we come back, we will mention maybe there's something coming towards us. Right now, it's on its way towards Mars. We'll talk about that coming up next on Bonnie and Friends. 7:48. You know, your smile is more than just your teeth. It's your confidence, your joy, and your story. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, Dr. Matt Eaton and his compassionate team help you reclaim that smile with same-day smile transformations that are truly life-changing. They know how hard it's been, so they make it easier with sedation, kindness, and payment options that work for you. Call the caring team at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo or visit DakotaImplant.com. In no time, you'll be smiling like you mean it. Visit DakotaImplant.com today and start your journey towards smiling like you mean it. All right, James, I don't know if you've seen this one. I think this is the one I've read about previously, and they've joked about it because there was some picture I saw on social media, which obviously
is accurate then.
I don't know. I mean, it looked like it was more like a spaceship than it was a comet or anything. But astronomers have detected a mysterious interstellar visitor officially named 3I/Atlas, which is obviously easy for everybody to remember. Making its way through the solar system towards Mars, it was first spotted in July, and the object is shedding gas and dust and forming a glowing tail and unusually even an, quote-unquote, anti-tail, which points towards the sun. Researchers believe the anti-tail may stem from ice fragments rather than the dust particles usually seen. As Atlas nears its solar approach, its activity is increasing, lighting the interest of both ground-based telescopes and space observatories. While there's no evidence it poses to any threat to Mars or Earth, scientists emphasize the rarity of catching an object like this, offering a chance to learn more about icy bodies from beyond our solar neighborhood. Do things like that interest you at all or kind of pique your curiosity? Not so much like it's an alien invasion kind of, you know, movie thing going on, but do you find some of those things interesting? Because the one picture I saw that's probably AI generated or whatever, they made it look like basically, in a sense, it was a spaceship hurtling towards our area, or that it might be like some sort of unmanned space probe or something like that. But does stuff like that, when you don't know what it is, does that kind of pique your curiosity?
To an extent, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I find it interesting to read quick articles, things of those sorts on it, but I was never really big into that when I was growing up. I was kind of, you know, more often, of course, the athletics, things of those sorts. There's uh-huh. definitely curiosities about those different things. And when you hear about comets and meteorites and things of those sorts, but for the most part, unless I see it in the news or I see an article or something as I'm scrolling through, it doesn't even really cross my mind for the most part.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always found it interesting. And I did take like an earth science class when I was in college. Unfortunately, it wasn't as much about some of that stuff as it was just about, you know, rocks and minerals and stuff here on Earth. So it wasn't quite as exciting. Granted, then again, I had heard that class had been called Rocks for Jocks back in the day. But unfortunately for me, even though I was, you know, half nerd, half jock in high school because my school was so small, it wasn't that easy. It was actually very hard because in second semester we had the head of the department teaching the class, and everything that he told us was just like so obviously so simple and elementary to him. You're just like, oh, okay, it's not that hard. And then you got to a test and you're like, I don't know anything at all.
That's how it was in my astronomy courses. All the different installments and
yeah.
things of sorts. You're looking up and you're trying to, there's a Big Dipper and a Little Dipper. The rest of them, oh, no. Basically, it went for me for 6 months, 5 months, whatever the class length was.
Yeah. I always find like stuff with like meteors and asteroids and other planets and stuff. It's always fascinating. I think it's always interesting when they get these new telescopes and they get these telescopes mounted to satellites that are orbiting the Earth, and they can see farther and farther away. And the more and more information you get about some of the different planets and their structures and their surfaces, etc., I always find that kind of fascinating. But you know, maybe someday we'll know more. But maybe there are aliens among us, James.
No, I think there's just some weird people. They just need help.
They always find that one guy. I was abducted by aliens. They took me in their spaceship and they probed me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that wasn't an alien.
that was Jim Bob Cooter over there.
It was a local dealer. I don't know how else to put it.
What were they dealing, James?
Pixie dust.
Stuff that'll make you super, super fun to be around. So there's that. Let's see. Coming up on your money and markets, obviously we've seen a couple things come up with people, you know, making disparaging comments about Charlie Kirk and that have an effect on their employment. But this week, James, believe it or not, is the next deadline for TikTok to be sold. And so we'll talk about that next coming up in your money and markets. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks close mixed on Friday to cap a winning week on Wall Street. The tech-heavy NASDAQ hit a new record high led by a surge in Tesla shares. The Dow retreated while the S&P 500 edged lower, but all three major averages posted weekly gains ahead of the Federal Reserve's upcoming decision on interest rates. At the close, the Dow Jones fell 273 points, S&P lost 3, and the NASDAQ gained 98 points.
Coming up in the business week ahead, noteworthy economic reports start rolling in Tuesday. Federal Reserve opens a key two-day meeting. We'll get the latest data on retail sales tomorrow, along with the important price index and home builder confidence. Then on Wednesday, the Fed announces its decision on interest rates. Central bank is likely to cut rates amid a slowing labor market and lingering inflation. Many analysts are forecasting additional 2 rate cuts before the end of the year. Weekly jobless claims will be released the following day with a decline of up to 20,000 expected.
Let's see. Reports have not stopped coming in about workers in many different fields facing punishment for their online postings about the murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Professors, healthcare workers, you name it. The CEO of Delta says the airline has suspended some employees over content that went well beyond healthy, respectful debate. Across the border in Mexico, a congressional ruling party staffer was forced to resign after taking heat over comments about the assassination. An Office Depot employee in Michigan is even out of a job after she refused to print up posters for a customers for a vigil for Kirk.
The deadline for TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance to divest or sell the hugely popular app is almost here. This after President Trump pushed the deadline to September 17th. Congress is calling for the sale over national security concerns. Trump has sought to strike a deal to keep TikTok available in the U.S., pushing back the deadline multiple times, and his own administration joining the platform just last month. Asked by reporters on Sunday if he'd consider another extension, Trump said, "I may or I may not."
Well, that narrows it down then.
Well, you got two options, and he left them both open.
That's true, he did. Let's see. Finally, on this day in history, it may be hard for some to conceive, but there really was a time before Google, believe it or not.
What?
It was on this day back in 1997 that Google.com was registered as a domain name. Google didn't actually launch its web page until a year later on September 27th, 1998. Fast forward to today, and the company that got its start in a garage in Menlo Park, California, now has a market capitalization of just about $2.9 trillion. And that is believe it or don't.
That's
for
bananas.
Today. All right, it is 8 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo, AM 970, FM 93.1 Fargo-Moorhead. We'll head back into the newsroom with Chris Larson.
8:03, time for a check on the local weather with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
And we've got a pretty quiet day on tap for most of us today after a rocky Sunday out in the central part of the state. We're in the upper 60s right now. Well, a partly cloudy skies. Can't rule out an isolated late-day storm in the northern valley, but other than that, the rest of us should be dry. Breezy, highs in the low 80s with south winds at 15 to 30. And tonight, partly cloudy down to 60. And tomorrow, another warm one, mid-80s. A little bit warmer tomorrow. Tomorrow, warmest day of the week. And then slight chance of storms Tuesday night, but a better chance for rain coming in Wednesday night through Friday with highs cooling down by the end of the week into the upper 60s. So starting out the week feeling like summer, ending the week feeling a little like fall and a little wet as well.
All right. Thank you, Dino. All right. It is 8:04, and we are pleased to be joined by Vice President of Heritage Homes, the one and only Troy Mattern. I mean, James and I, obviously, Troy, we think about you. We think about football, but you guys got some homes that are going to be featured in the Fall Parade of Homes. Is that correct?
Yes. Good morning. Thanks for having me on. We do. It's Parade of Homes Week, and starting on Saturday, we're going to have three brand new homes on the Parade of Homes out in Horace. It's our new Sunset Valley project, so we're really excited about it. We got three different floor plans to showcase, fully staged, professionally staged, a lot of different trends and ideas that you can come out and see. One of the homes is actually a featured home on the Parade of Homes, so we're excited to showcase that too. And all the different things that are happening at Sunset Valley with all the amenities we have on site. It's really cool project, so come out and see it on Saturday and Sunday and Monday for the next two weekends.
Oh, that is awesome, Troy. I mean, it looks like you still got six available move-in ready homes at Sunset Valley in West Fargo. And then you've also got the new property that you guys are developing, Sunset Valley in Horace, where you've got 135 total home sites. You got three model homes out there available to tour, et cetera. Can you tell us a little bit more about Sunset Valley over in Horace?
Yeah, so it's a master plan of 135 home sites, like you mentioned. But the cool thing about it is 56 of them are active adults, so it's your 55-plus community. And then on the other side, 79 home sites for family, single-family homes. So if you have a family and you have a grandma and grandpa that want to live close by, it's a great opportunity for that. But the cool thing about both projects is they all have their both amenities. So you're going to have a pool on site, pickleball courts, clubhouse, splash pads, parks. So it's really a community living. So as a family, you just don't even have to leave the community. You can get everything right on site, and it's really cool for those families that just want to be at home.
Oh, there you go. If anybody has more questions or they want more information, how do they find out more, and how do they get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, the best way to do it is go to heritagefargo.com. That's going to have all the houses that we'll have on parade this weekend, all the information you need with our sales team. Again, that's heritagefargo.com.
All right. Thank you, Troy. Have a good day.
All right. Take care, man.
All right, that was Troy Mattern, VP of Heritage Homes. And so get out there. Obviously, a few properties left at Sunset Valley in West Fargo. Obviously, they also got properties that they're developing over there at Sunset Valley in Horace. Also, you know, some for the active adults, some for single-family homes. So get over there, and then I'll check that out. Obviously, if you want more info, go to heritagefargo.com. It is now 8:06. We're going to check in with ABC for your national news. And we come back, big game, James McCarty will be here with your pick six winner. 8:10 here on a Monday morning. Also want to point out that we have a chance right now, James, to nominate a first responder who could win a pair of tickets and a meet and greet with Lee Bryce at Shields Arena on September 27th. One lucky first responder will be selected. Thank you to Schmidt's Gyms of Fargo, your diamond destination. Nominate or register online at WDAYRadioNow.com. Winner will be selected on September 24th. And since the Vikings played last night, you have got our results for our pick six, and you have a winner, if I'm not mistaken, James.
Oh, I do indeed. All right. I didn't realize we were ripping that right away. Okay. Well, no, I'm back. We're good. I have it. I have it here. It's okay. Right in front of me.
I didn't know if you...
In a minute, it will be, actually. Okay. It was right there, then it wasn't. I know who won it, though.
Okay, who won it?
It was Angie.
Angie.
Yep, Angie B. Yep.
Yeah. She's a regular player.
She increases her odds in this. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know... Everybody, it's interesting.
Everybody got the Vikings
wrong. Okay, so everybody trusted me with the Vikings, and they were wrong. Okay?
It's not your fault.
Most people trusted me with the Gophers, but Angie didn't. Good so for her. Angie got that one right. That's where she got the edge.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there because she picked Cal. Everybody else picked the Gophers.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there was only three people, including myself, that ended up picking Minnesota Duluth over Mankato. Angie was one of the three of them.
There you go.
So she trusted me a couple times, even though I think she submitted hers first.
I think you got yours in first.
I beat her by almost 20 minutes this week.
She was not on the ball. She was like sleeping in or something. I'm not quite sure what was going on this
weekend. Probably waiting for coffee or dropping off kids or something of sorts. But you know what? It's a ton of fun each and every week. So, yeah, the pick six brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. And just a fun thing we're able to do each and every week. And this week as we continue week by week to get a few more entries. And, of course, when Bonnie gets back, we always tend to kick up a little bit more, too, with it. We'll continue it on. But, yeah, a $20 gift card to the Indoor Golf Lounge in Moorhead. Angie is going to be able to pick that up. I had already shot her a message on it, so she's well aware. And we're looking forward to continuing it this upcoming week. The big thing is there's a couple of teams with buys. The Gophers are on a bye this week. The Bison are on a bye this week. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a couple games to fill in. You're probably going to double up on NSIC Division II football. You'll probably sneak in one of the South Dakota schools, whether it's UST or SDSU, maybe both. Who knows? We'll see. But, this past week, it was about getting four right.
That's all that matters, right?
Funny enough, of everybody that entered, Angie and I were the only two that got four right. Everybody else got three or less.
That's funny because how
many? Because last week,
there was a number of people. Everybody was spot on. They were perfect.
We had like 10 perfect one brackets last week or picks last week, and I'm getting grief. Ooh, make it tougher. Take that, everybody.
Make it tougher.
Take that. It's the same schools every week. It's the whole thing. They're like, make it tougher. It's about the local schools. I can only, unless they're on a bye, I don't do much with it.
Yeah, you can't really.
Or once December comes around and teams get knocked out of the playoffs, then you get some of those bigger games.
You got to switch it over to basketball games a few times.
Yeah, we got the college football playoff games, FCS, FBS. Yeah, I mean, it's a ton of fun. I'm glad we get to do it each and every year.
Oh, absolutely. Did you want to throw us some sports headlines? I mean, you can.
That's what I was prepped for. Yeah. I had that page pulled up. I thought we were going to kick it over.
Normally on Fridays we just do the
yeah,
pick
but
six,
you're preparing for it at that point, right? Yeah. You're working up to it. Mm-hmm. That's a slightly different spot to be now.
Well,
this week,
make sure you let us know. So, how did those games that were in the pick six that you had mentioned? Obviously, those local.
So
games,
those six ones you had. MSULM take down Winona State 45-21. Everybody except for Linda got that one right. Apparently she's a hater.
Well, I mean, Winona's, maybe she's from Winona. I don't know.
Could be. There's a possibility there.
But the last two times that the Dragons have played Winona in Moorhead, they've gotten wins. This was an impressive win, to say the least. I mean, Jack Strand continues to play at a high level. Brady Perryman, man, he was all over the place. I mean, He caught five passes, but three of them were touchdowns. And quite honestly, he could have had a couple more had they been able to connect earlier on in that game. But just a fantastic performance from Jack in the offense. And the defense really did a good job outside of basically a couple plays where they had some miscommunications or missed assignments. Other than that, I mean, you see the scoreboard says 21 points, but that last touchdown came in garbage time. So, I mean, there's that. But just an overall great performance once again from MSUM.
At the same point, though, Linda, she did pick Minnesota Duluth, so
she
got that. I'm okay.
She listened to you.
I'm okay
there.
With that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. She didn't pick those purple guys from Mankato. I got to keep myself within reason and not create enemies.
They were all in white this weekend.
Maybe that was the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duluth actually walked off Mankato on a 25-yard field goal, 13-play, 70-yard drive that took over 6 minutes. Is where Duluth set themselves up for that walk-off field goal to defeat Mankato for the third straight time. The Bison took on SEMO and dominated there from really the opening kick. It was like 17-7 in the second quarter, and I thought, okay, all right. And then it was like 41-14, and I'm like, oh, Nate Hayes is out there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right. You had California take on the Gophers, and Minnesota, like I said, it was a three-point game with 8 minutes to go in this one. Coy Parrish ends up, after the ball bounces around, goes to try and pick it up and just basically it skips off his shin. He never actually gets an opportunity to truly mm-hmm. pick it up. One of the gunners goes, falls on top of it, and Cal goes up 10 points, ends up getting a field goal after the Gophers' desperation bid doesn't pan out in their favor. And Angie, that was, I mean, the differentiator, because she was literally the only person that picked Cal mm-hmm. In that one. And so that's how Cal takes down the Gophers and remains undefeated. The Gophers fall to 2-1 on the year, and everybody trusted in the purple and gold this weekend. And Atlanta won that one.
I thought it was going to be a tough game last night for both teams. I thought it'd be kind of low scoring. I mean,
nobody was even honestly remotely close when it comes to score-wise. I mean, everybody had, you know.
Vikings winning.
Well, even like the lower scores, though, was like 23-20, 27-17. You had a...
I would have thought
33-8. Oh, a 28-10.
I was really thinking maybe along more the lines of a 24-20, 24-17 type of Vikings win. But I was really shocked that the Vikings offense didn't find any type of rhythm there. I mean, obviously a lot of pressure being put on by Atlanta. They did a good job getting their first win of the year. So, I mean, I guess hat tip to them. But I was surprised by that. I thought Vikings being at home for the home opener on Sunday night was going to kind of give them an edge. But obviously, we were wrong about that.
Yeah, and so we end up back in this spot where we'll just continue on, keep chugging along for another week of it. So, yeah, quick sports update. Vikings fall to the Falcons Sunday Night Football 22-6. They gave up 5 field goals. That touchdown came late in the game where the Vikings actually jumped off sides defensively, basically let Atlanta walk into the end zone with about just under 4 minutes. That was like 3 minutes and 40-ish seconds, 40, 45 seconds left. They had no timeouts. They were basically just trying to get the ball back to stay relevant mathematically before, interception and a fumbled punt and just a bunch of not great things if you're trying to be successful. So the Vikings are going to welcome in Cincinnati, the Bengals, Sunday afternoon at noon. With coverage available on CBS, and there will be no Joey Burrow for that one. He's out for the next 3 months with a foot or toe injury of sorts. So you're going to bring in the former Vikings backup, Jake Browning, to town.
Oh,
who, by the way, when he checked into the second quarter, he proceeded to throw 3 picks.
Yeah, he did
so
not.
So maybe defensively the Vikings can take advantage of that this next Sunday.
Well, he ended up rushing for the game-winning touchdown at the end of the game against, Jacksonville. And, he made the plays when he needed to make the plays. And, I mean, that's all that really matters. So, I mean, he'll get all the prep work this week, because that's the funny thing about, when you go into a game week, is that your starter gets like 90% of the reps. Your backup maybe gets 10%. Then that third stringer, you know, he's just watching more or less than anything, maybe running scout teams. So we'll see if that gets him a little bit more ready to go. But I think the Vikings will come out fired up on Sunday and really want to pin their ears back against the backup. So we'll see how it plays out. But not the ideal start for either team if you think about it.
No, not at all. But college football, Dragons over Winona State 45-21, 3-0 for the first time in a decade. Bison over SEMO 41-14. North Dakota fell to Montana. They were up 9 with 5 minutes to go, and they fall by 1, 24-23. South Dakota State all over Drake, 37-21, and South Dakota edged out Northern Colorado, 24-17 in overtime. Gophers fall to California, 27-14. On the diamond, American Association Best of 5 West Division Championship Series saw the Redhawks fall in that decisive fifth game to the Canaries, 11-2. Sioux Falls now will battle King County in the Miles Wolf Cup Championship Series. That will begin tonight, actually, at 6:30. Twins dropped their rubber match to the Diamondbacks at Target Field Sunday afternoon, 6-4. They would end up with 4 pitchers participating in that one, but Bailey Ober gave up 4 runs over those first 6 innings. He was tagged with the loss. Matt Wallner and Mickey Gasper, each with solo home runs in that one, as the Twins welcome the Yankees to Target Field now for an early week series. 6:40 is first pitch. Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound. On the hardwood, Minnesota Lynx, the top seed in the WNBA postseason, they ended up trailing number 8 seeded Golden State 28-21 at the end of the first quarter before shifting gears, changing lanes. I don't know what happened. But regardless, they outscored it by 36 the rest of the way, winning 101-72. Nafisa Collier did lead 5 links in double figures with 20 points and 6 rebounds, as they have a 1-0 series lead in that WNBA postseason, that quarterfinal series. Interesting thing, Game two will shift to Golden State Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on ESPN. But this quarterfinal series is a best of three. Mm-hmm. Whoever ends up winning that series will play in a best of five semifinal series. And then the championship series will go to, for the first time ever, a best of seven this year. So basically, you just you increase having to win one more game in each series as you continue to get closer to that championship. So that's just something new for those who maybe were kind of either, you know, you're a casual fan or you're kind of curious as to how that's going to end up shaking out in the end. And as well, on our family of stations here the rest of the week, we got all kinds of awesome things to as tonight, Primetime Sports at 6:30, we'll recap a great week of college football. Then on Tuesday night, you're going to have high school volleyball on WDAY Radio, where you'll have a West Fargo Horse take on West Fargo High, 7 p.m. first serve for that one. Friday night, Moorhead hosts Wayzata in high school football at 6 p.m. with Larry Knutson on the call. Saturday afternoon, Cobber football fresh off a bye at St. Olaf with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Over on our sister station, The Flag, you just heard from the head coach, actually, of the Shanley Deacons and Troy Mattern. Well, we're going to be covering his Deacon squad as they host Minot High, a 7 p.m. kickoff on Friday night. Then Saturday afternoon, Dragon football will battle Wayne State, 11 a.m. pregame, 12 p.m. kickoff. Jason and I on the call for that one. Dragons have not beat the Wildcats since 2018, and also they have not beat the Wildcats in Moorhead since 2016.
Well, time to end that streak. That's all I can say.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a season of opportunity now. For the first time in a decade, you're 3-0. I'm going to go do some diving and seeing when the last time a 4-0 started happened. But it's
been a while.
It's opportunity for a very special season here for the Dragons as we continue into the middle of September here.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, everything is got a endless possibilities until those possibilities stop. But you know, right now Dragons playing very well, averaging probably 47.5 points or so, or 46.5 points per game, so they've been on fire offensively, and the defense is coming along nicely in these first three games.
And they didn't score in the first quarter of two of the three games.
I know, that is so bizarre. Those are the games that they only scored like 45 and 44 in, so there's that. That's part of the reason, just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, did you know that there is a law in North Korea that you cannot watch foreign films or media?
I would believe that with
who's in charge.
Yeah.
Do you know what the penalty is for that?
Probably way more harsh than it needs to be.
Well, obviously. The penalty for that, to being convicted
expulsion.
Of expulsion. It's death.
Legitimately?
Legitimately, yeah. A new United Nations report has found that North Korea has significantly increased executions in recent years for citizens who watch or distribute foreign films and TV shows. Over 300 escapees interviewed said that since about 2020, the government has tightened laws to equate these offenses with serious crimes. The findings also describe the expansion of surveillance tools and harsher border controls under Kim Jong-un's leadership. Meanwhile, daily life has grown more oppressive, food is increasingly scarce, and informal markets have diminished. So it sounds awesome over there, to say the least. But could you imagine, you know, we watched that fancy foreign film from France, and the penalty for getting caught doing that is to be executed? I mean, that is bizarre, I mean, to say the least.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. No, that shouldn't be a thing.
No, I know. It should not. It should never be a thing. So today's National Cheeseburger Day, James. So a couple quick true or falses.
Oh, boy. Okay.
A Smashburger Double features thick, juicy patties cooked low and slow. True or false? Smashburger.
No, it's high heat.
Double features double thick burgers.
Oh, double thick. No. Oh, they're thin.
There you go.
They're thin and smashed. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant, I heard low and slow cut. I was like, that's not how you cook them.
No.
You can't get a crust on
no,
that.
No, there's multiple false
statements
in there.
Okay. It's everything about that was a falsivity. I think that's the right word.
Yeah.
If that is a word.
A double patty melt usually comes with rye bread instead of a burger bun. True or false?
A patty melt?
A double patty melt.
Well, just, yeah, any patty melt, yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Are you just trying to throw in extra words to throw me off the trail or what?
Yeah. Animal style burgers at In-N-Out.
Okay.
I don't think you've had one.
I have.
I've been to In-N-Out, but I haven't had Animal Style. They are served without any cheese. True or false?
That's like the whole point of it. It's like cheese and onions.
I thought there was lettuce and other things on there. But you're right. It is
no,
false.
No, it's just basically, it's like you just slop on this cheese and onion mixture of sorts that's a little bit seasoned, and you're like a savage. You can either just get into there with bare hands, or you grab a fork and just let her buck.
It says false. Animal Style includes cheese and extra toppings like grilled onions, so you are correct there. 827, we're going to check in with the American Ag Network, and then Janae and Rodney will join us and let us know what's coming up on their show. Pick a microphone, Janae.
I gotta
wait for you to get too close to the line.
I was going to call you James. Am I on, Jace?
No, you are.
Turned me on.
Coffee Club coming up next, and I just realized that Ronnie's not here today. So
Ronnie's gone. He's somewhere between here and San Diego.
You don't know where? He's just lost?
Last time I heard from Ronnie, it was Friday night when he sent me pictures of their hotel in Miles City.
Ah, I see.
That's the last time I heard from him.
Okay. All right, well, you got Jay Thomas filling in with
you,
so that ought to be...
Jay, and Macy's running the board.
Okay, well...
I told Macy she's got to be part of the show, too.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, you guys have a good show today, then.
Thank you much.
All right, Bonnie returns tomorrow morning, so James gets a couple hours extra sleep. So we will see you tomorrow morning right here on Bonnie and Friends. Coffee Club's up next. We head into the newsroom with Chris Larson.